So when I was growing up, one of my favorite things to do and to watch with my dad is we would watch old reruns of Columbo. Now, some of the young people probably don't even know who Columbo is. I shouldn't have either. We had to watch all reruns. So let me explain for those who don't. Columbo was Peter Falk in real life, and it was a detective show. Every show would start with you seeing the crime committed by the perpetrator, and then this buffoon-looking detective would show up on the scene. And he drove this beat-up car, and he always had a cigar in his mouth, which I appreciated. And he was disheveled. His hair was always all over the place. And you could see the joy on the perpetrator's face the first time they met Columbo. And they would think, there is no way this buffoon will ever figure out that I've committed the crime. But then as you watched the show, the perpetrator quickly, and you can almost see it on their face as the show progresses, they realize, based on the questions he asks and the poise and all these certain things, that he's not quite the buffoon that they thought he was. And he had a few staples, like he would leave a room and then he'd barge back in the room, right? And he'd say what? Just one more thing, right? And of course, that one more thing was always the pointed question that was basically going to indict the person, right? I loved watching Columbo because of the way in which he solved the crime. And by the end of the episode, he had encircled this person and flanked them on every possible side, that almost every episode ends with a confession. That he's basically outflanked the perpetrator. And you can almost see on their expression that they're so confused that this buffoon-looking man, who would always talk about his wife, he would blame everything on his wife, but you never met his wife in any episode in the whole series. I've watched every single episode. But he would solve the crime by encircling the perpetrator so much that they basically indicted themselves. For the young people, if you've never seen an episode of Columbo, you should just watch one episode. It's worth your time. You might be wondering how I'm connecting this to the readings. I've always thought that Columbo's approach has characteristics of incredible leadership, and in this context today with all of our readings, how to be a good shepherd. And here's the two characteristics. Number one, unassuming authority. And the second is encircling or surrounding the sheep. So the first, unassuming authority. What was incredible about Columbo and why I loved him so much, and my dad and I loved him, is that he was totally unassuming. He disarmed the people that he talked to precisely because he didn't state his credentials. He knew he had to earn your respect through competence, by being really good at his job. Right? And he earned that by the end of every episode. But he wasn't overt and explicit about asserting his authority. There was a very subtle, unassuming authority that Columbo exercises in the shows. And, of course, Columbo is following Jesus on this, right? This is Jesus' approach to leadership. Unassuming authority. To be a shepherd, you have to be unassuming in your authority to be a good shepherd, right? Jesus, remember, Jesus says, don't lord over your authority and power like the world does, like the Gentiles do, by making everyone know that you're in charge. Rather, serve. Be the last. Be the least. That, and earn their respect. Right? Earn your credentials by unassuming authority, hard work. And I just love that about Columbo in the episodes, the unassuming sort of authority with which he went about his task of solving the particular crime. And the second is encircling or surrounding the sheep. And in Columbo's case, this is a sort of negative encircling. He would outflank the person. He would have covered every possible angle and every series of questions so that by the end they knew they had no way out. They were totally trapped in this encircling, surrounding work that Columbo had done. For the shepherd, for the good shepherd, it's a different kind of encircling. It's a different kind of surrounding. It's the kind of surrounding that Jesus talked about when he compared God to a mother hen who just raises her wings around her young. encircling and surrounding them with love and support and encouragement, so that they know at every angle, whenever they go off the path, the shepherd is there to sort of gently guide them back onto the path. If you've ever seen shepherds in real life, real shepherds, or watched videos online, there's some great videos online, shepherds flank their sheep, right? They go, if a sheep's going a little off the path, the shepherd outflanks them and they gently bring them back into the fold, right? Into the herd. They also use that to ward off any predators that are about to attack the flock. And so they protect the sheep by encircling and surrounding the sheep, gently bringing them back into the fold and warding off any predators that might be willing to attack. It's a beautiful image of a shepherd, right? Just like Jesus calls God, the mother hen who sort of just covers and encircles and surrounds the young for protection. I know in my own life, I have been very privileged to have shepherds like that. Shepherds who have unassuming authority, who have authority over me, but who do not exercise it unnecessarily, right? Who exercise it with an unassuming kind of power and influence, and who have encircled me. And so when I went this direction, they were already there waiting for me if I went off the path to gently bring me back. Or if I went this direction, they were there to gently bring me back and to ward off any predators they might think would take me from the path that was best for me. Friends, I would challenge us all to reclaim our role as shepherds in the various sort of relationships and tasks in our life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we share in the prophetic mission of Jesus. Last week, it was how we share in the missionary impulse of Jesus. Today, it's how we share in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. How we are shepherds to various people in our lives. And it could be the shepherd of a spouse. It could be the shepherd of children. It could be the shepherd of students that you're the teacher for. It could be the shepherd of various tasks that are assigned just to you, that you're the only one that can complete them. It could be that you're the shepherd of an organization or a cause or a passion that is yours. It could be that you're the shepherd of various co-workers at your job of which you're the supervisor for. But I would suggest that we all are called to be shepherds, that those entrusted to our care, we are called to shepherd like the dynamic duo of Jesus and Columbo, with unassuming authority, and with encircling and surrounding the sheep, those that we are called to care for. Because the first reading comes, unfortunately, with a warning. Woe to you shepherds that mislead your sheep and who do not keep them on the right path. That's a serious warning, and it's a call to responsibility for us, that those who are entrusted to our care, our children, our relationships, our students, our co-workers, our family members, those entrusted to our care experience through us the ministry of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So friends, let's recommit in our own lives to being good shepherds and leading and guiding with unassuming authority and with the kind of encircling and surrounding kind of love with which God loves us. Not a smothering, domineering kind of love, but the love that someone knows that when you're entrusted to their care, you will always be there to support them. Yes, maybe to constructively criticize, but always there to support them and guide them back into the fold. In doing so, I think we'll be like Columbo, but much more importantly, like Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd.